Good morning.
Good morning.
Who knows what CAP stands for? That's all right, Christians Against Poverty. A charity set up 20-odd years ago, and I've actually been involved for the last 6 years. You only know my name, right? Okay. I come from New Brighton. I go to New Brighton Baptist Church. I've been going there 30 years. I heard about CAP probably 10, 15 years ago, a long, long time ago, when it was Yorkshire. It was just Yorkshire. And then 6, 7 years ago, Spring Harvest, somebody at our church came back and said, how about us partnering with CAP? And you know that thing in your heart, that spirit, and you suddenly go, "Woo! That's me. That's it." And that was it. I said, yeah, absolutely. It happened. God just knows timings, doesn't he? He just knows it's his time. And I had just put in for partial retirement from work. My job, my day job, I'm an enforcement officer with the Child Maintenance Service, the old CSA. So I deal with the clients that can't and won't pay and the clients that aren't getting any money. Okay? So that's where I come from. So my heart was to work part-time, and I just knew in my spirit that I wanted to help people manage their money better. So what better way? So our church, three of us went up to train for CAP Money 6 years ago, last October. Off we went. CAP Money, you know all about CAP Money here, I hope. And can I just say at this point, if you haven't been on a CAP Money course, go on one. You ought to go. It changes your mindset, whether you've got money or you haven't. So about a year after I'd done CAP Money, I was going out as an ambassador for CAP, and I got a phone call one day from a very anxious woman saying, my name's Moira. I've been asked to set up a debt centre on Wirral. I went, oh, yeah, great, great. And in 5 years, we're now the best of buddies, go on holiday together, support each other. She refers people to me for life skills. The CAP Life Skills, a new service that CAP's introduced. We've been doing 2 years. I send people to her. We talk about clients. We set up events. We do fundraising. We do all sorts together. So you've started on an amazing journey. We just had our 5th birthday for CAP, our anniversary, and our vision is that we need another debt coach. I don't want to wait 9 years. Because our debt centre covers the whole of Wirral, and we've always got a waiting list of 3 months, and we turn people away, and we know we do. We really want somebody to centre on Wallasey, where I am, and we just want the churches to come together, and we want the right person, God, to speak and get the right person into place, and we want it now. So that's really where I come from. Is that enough introduction? Is that okay? Right. You said to me about having a God-inspired word. But CAP, very, very good. It's a really professional organisation. And when we go out, they like CAP speakers to speak the same thing. So you all get the same story, basically. So at the minute, there's a few talks going on. And this is the one that was selected for you today. I didn't choose it. They chose it. Okay? So we start. Yeah? So this morning, I love the way that songs, words all connect. Some of what you've already heard, some of the words, the little bits this morning, you'll hear again this morning. We want to make space for the poor. I want to speak to you from the Bible on how God's word, if we take it seriously, demands that we make space for the poor. Make space for the poor in our thinking and theology, in our treasure, and in our time, and at our table. I pray that at the end of this morning, your hearts will be moved by the God of compassion to care more about the poor. And that's something we should all do. Be generous givers and share our resources with the poor. I pray that if you don't already, you would consider supporting the nationwide work of CAP with a regular monthly giving. Something many of us can do. And finally, to act on behalf of the poor and include them in your hospitality. Maybe some of you will get involved with the debt centre that's been launched here at the Lane today. something some of you really can do. And having spoken to Lisa when I came in this morning, she really is looking for some of you to come and speak to her and say, I'll help, I'll support you, I'll go out with you, I'll look after clients. So I really pray that this morning, as we go through this, that you will be stirred. God's love and compassion for the poor, and also his challenge to us to care for the marginalized and downtrodden, is a constant thread weaved throughout all Scripture. From the law to the prophets, from the Psalms to the Apostle Paul, God is constantly urging us to care for, speak up for, and make space for the poor. People who are struggling to survive physically, emotionally, and spiritually, with no voice, no influence, or power in our society. If you see how often this is mentioned in the Bible, it seems we need constant reminding. Just like any parent, God knew we would need instruction and urging to take the difficult path, to do the right thing, to put aside our own need and think of others. But we can only do the right things if we think the right things. Behavior flows out of belief. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's from Romans 12. Hopefully the scriptures will all flip up on the screen as well. So today, let's allow God's word to renew our minds as we look at just a few of those God-given challenges to make space for the poor. We may think we know the reason God was displeased with Sodom, but Ezekiel shines a different light on it. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. And what were you saying before, Nick? That's a pretty hard challenge. Just stop and think for a moment. Arrogant, overfed, I'm certainly overfed, unconcerned. The Psalms, Proverbs, and Prophets constantly inspire and challenge us to care for the poor. Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. The theme is carried on in Isaiah 58 when God says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. The Israelites were not living lives that reflected God's heart of compassion and care for the poor, so their praying, quiet times, and fasting were ignored. Do some of us sometimes go into it with the wrong heart, the wrong attitude? God says, that is what I really want you to do. This is what believing in me really looks like. Do this, then I'll listen to you. Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. And this is one of my favourite little bits that we've used in lots of our talks that really sits well with Cap. It should come as no surprise that Jesus chose the words of Isaiah 61 to announce his ministry and his mission. This was his inaugural speech, a summary of what his mission and purpose were all about. From Luke 4, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. As his children and Jesus' followers, we need to ask ourselves, is his mission our mission? Is the purpose of his life the purpose of our lives too, to proclaim good news to the poor? Because it's simply not enough to pray, come to church, and do the right things. without looking after the poor. As James says in James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The widows and orphans were the poor of their day. In Galatians 2, Paul was checking in with the apostles about the gospel he was preaching to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And that's us, isn't it? After talking and discussing, they basically said, okay, carry on, but there's one thing, one piece of doctrine we want you to remember. What was the one thing they asked Paul never to forget? From Galatians, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do all along. So let's make sure we too remember the poor in our thinking and our theology. Out of right thinking, the right care, compassion and action will follow. Make space for the poor in our treasure. You might think, oh, I ain't got anything. Oh, I haven't got anything locked away. But when God was setting out the law, how his people should live, he made it clear he wanted them to make space for the poor with their treasure. And that's our income and what we actually own. Can you remember from the old Levitical laws? When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. God spoke this instruction into an agricultural society. If people owned land, they would be growing food on it, whether it be in the cornfields or the vineyards. So God made it as relevant as possible for them. For these farmers, their produce was their income. They would have kept some food for themselves and have sold the rest. Today, the majority of people aren't farmers, not in this land, are they? But the principle's the same. God is basically saying, don't keep and consume all your produce and keep all your wealth for yourself. Don't go right to the edge of your financial field, reaping it all for yourself. Leave some space on the edges of all you earn, all you have, to care for the poor. What out of your total income have you left for the poor? Make space for the poor in your finances and make space in your life for the poor. Again, I'm going to put a plug in there, cap money. Cap money, go on a cap money course, compartmentalize your cash. Make sure you have a plan in place to provide for the poor with your income. God wanted a certain behavior to care for the poor. He wanted to give them a system to do it, to leave a certain amount of the field unpicked so the poor could gather food. This system doesn't work in our context, so we have set in place a different system that ensures we can set aside some of our income and make space for the poor in our treasure. We can use a direct debit. So we're making space for the poor in our thinking and our treasure because we've set up that direct debit for a Christian charity, hopefully CAP. And so that is helping the poor. But is that actually enough? You see, personally, I think making space for the poor in our time is the most challenging area of this time-poor, busy society. But true love and compassion calls for action, as we see it in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan not only gave of his money and income to help the poor beaten up guy by the road, he also got involved and gave his time. He was on a business trip. He had places to go, people to see. Yet he stopped. He got involved in the mess. He was prepared to be delayed. He gave his time. He bandaged up the man, put him on his own donkey, which presumably then meant that it was a bit of a slower trip for him. Jesus, can you actually, just really picture that? Would we do that? How often do we walk past people? Jesus also calls us to make space at our table. The next reading is Luke 14:12. Then Jesus said to his host, When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and you'll have been repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they can't repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Doesn't that mean a lot more? Jesus is quite clear in this passage in Luke that we aren't simply to be friends with those who are like us. We are meant to include the poor in our lives, in our time, and around our table. And just as an aside there, as I mentioned before, we've set up one of the new CAP services, a life skills course, and we do it on a Thursday morning, and then we provide a two-course lunch. We can have anything from about 8 of us to 20-odd of us, can't we, Dave? Dave comes along sometimes. And there have been occasions where one day I remember in particular, 3 out of 14 people said that was the first time that week they had sat down for a meal. Regularly, we have people saying how much they appreciate just sitting at a table to eat with other people, because it isn't what happens these days. So it is really important. It is such a blessing to us to provide for others. But what if we don't really know anyone in poverty to invite them to dinner? What if no one in poverty is coming to our church? I don't know any of you to know where you're at. This is where CAP steps in. Opening a CAP service is all about connecting God's people, his church, to people who are hurting and broken in our communities, people who we might not have met yet. Mums here in Garston who have to look at their children in the eye and say, there's no food for tea. 2/3 of our families missed meals before our help. People who are feeling written off and hopeless about being out of work, feeling utterly useless and embarrassed. Our job club members have been out of work an average of 2.5 years. Dads who are waking up bleary-eyed, already knowing that today will be like all the others, held captive by that destructive habit, even though they know it's tearing their family apart. 1 in 7 drink more than they should. And if the amount of money in gambling was averaged out to every UK citizen, it'd work out £286 a year. Today, people will be considering suicide because they can't see another way out of their debt situation. A shocking 38% of CAP clients said they thought about suicide as the only way out of debt before CAP stepped in. Jesus wants us to proclaim good news to the poor. This was Jesus' mission, and as Jesus' followers, it should be ours. To get involved in the mess, to get involved in people's lives, to help practically as well as by caring and giving. And a little note there, one of our CAP clients is somebody I actually work with. I referred her to CAP, and one night, we're friends on Facebook, have been for a few years, good few years, and one night I just felt, I'll send her a little private message. She said, came back straight away. This was gone midnight. She came back straight away. You don't know how timely that message is. I'm lying in bed with a knife. And I had to chat through, telling her she was worth it. And she said, God won't cut it. And I'm going, but your family. So we really are dealing with people that are suicidal. The last before one life skills course, I think there were 7 members present, 4 said they'd considered suicide. A lot of our people have mental health issues, which then doesn't help, does it? So we need Christians to come alongside our people to show them that love of Christ. What CAP does? What do we actually do? It says officially here. I'm telling you little snippets. The political think tank, the Centre for Social Justice, named 5 pathways to poverty. Severe debt, unemployment, addiction, family breakdown, and educational failure. CAP is enabling the local church to be the answer to some of the biggest causes of poverty in our country through our 600 church-based services. For people who are crushed under the weight of debt, we're now at around 300 debt centres, and we are lifting the burden of the debt so people can breathe again. So Lisa and her team have befriended us, and she says so far she's got one. Come on, I hope God's really stirring you up. So Lisa's one of 300 or so, and there's two other debt centres in Liverpool. You've got one in Anfield and one in Bootle, and she knows the lady in Bootle already, so, you know, I'm sure you'll build up more links with them. But Lisa's going to go out with another person, because we're really good on our safeguarding. She'll take somebody with her into people's homes. We'll give support and love whilst our amazing, award-winning debt counselling teams at head office will start to look at the paperwork. Can I just say, a befriender role, because perhaps you don't know what I'm talking about, a befriender goes as the eyes and ears of what's going on in that family situation or that person's situation. Lisa's got to take details of somebody's income, expenditure, and what all their debts are. And people will be flustered trying to find paperwork, trying to do all sorts. But the person that goes with them will sit there and take on little things about family, little things that's happening, look at the situation, and be praying. And as the meetings come draw to a close, the befriender has that opportunity to pray with those clients. And do you know what? Over 90% of our clients accept prayer. They love the prayer. The befriender, hopefully, will gel with that person, go back for the next couple of visits that Lisa will do, and then build up a relationship with that person or that family. I'm still friends with a girl called Kate that came to CAP over 2 years ago. And she's got an amazing life-transforming story. I haven't got time to share. But from being stuck in a room in bed most days, she's now out at work and fine. Yeah, and she knows the Lord. Yeah. CAP takes the chaos of demand letters to create a budget that will give people a way out of their debt and into a future filled with hope. This means rent and bills are being paid on time. Parents can feed their families and heat their homes. Yeah, we're always willing to go and buy bags of food or take people to the food bank or other supplies you've got. Top up gas, electric, phones. We do that all the time. We speak up for our clients by negotiating with the creditors. That's head office. So unfair interest and charges are stopped or reduced and affordable repayments are set up. We silence the constant phone calls, endless demands, relentless bills dropping through the door and knocks from the bailiffs. How many of you get those phone calls time and time and time again from people? And you can have 30 calls a day, can't you? Some of the people tell us. It's amazing how you get hounded. And it really works. 2,500 people go debt-free every year. £3 million repaid or written off every month. That's amazing, isn't it? £3 million a month. 93% of our clients stay debt-free and 82% still use a budget to stay in control of their money. And that's why Martin Lewis can't sing our praises highly enough. Have you heard him? Yeah. CAP are unsurpassed when it comes to debt help. And did anybody see Songs of Praise last week? I believe there was CAP clients on Songs of Praise last week. I've seen the clip. For people who've been written off and out of work for years, there's hope through our CAP job clubs. For people who are prisoners to their dependency and addictions, freedom is waiting through our release groups. We'd love to see more job clubs and release groups on Merseyside. There aren't enough. CAP Life Skills, the fastest growing service. We still need a few more, but we're giving people the weapons to fight back in the grinding battle of low-income life, just changing people's mindsets on how they plan their week, how they plan to shop, how they plan their meals, how they learn to be savvy about some of the ploys that the media puts out there and the shops put out there and everything. And we look at building relationships, helping people to do things for free and get out and enjoy themselves. But the best thing of all of these services is the companionship, the friendship, the love of God that we're showing and we're sharing. All 300 groups are set within one of our partner churches, providing people with friendship and love. Group members find people who care and will listen to their concerns. They find they're not alone. There's been a lot, hasn't there, in the last, six, 8 months on the news about people with mental health issues and isolation being one of the biggest things. CAP's about getting people out, getting people into the local church, getting them to little groups. It's amazing. So, we've got our statistics up. Thank you, you're doing a grand job. 38% of Job Club members found work, 37% of Release Group members reached their freedom goal, and 21,500 people hear the good news. Salvations. CAP has Christ at the centre of absolutely everything. In head office, every team prays every morning. Every time somebody comes to faith, they ring a big siren, a big bell, and they stop and they pray. It's amazing. So truly preaching good news to the poor has to include telling people about Jesus. We always offer to pray with our clients and give God the chance to move. We know that having faith in Jesus is what really transforms lives. That is what... Yeah, that's what it's all really about, bringing true freedom to fill that emptiness and that hurt and everything that these people have got. Being part of a church and a new community of friends and family eradicates loneliness, isolation. God sets the lonely in families. Last year we saw 1,054 people making a commitment to Christ and all... All this happened in 600 churches like this one across the UK. This means we've never had any government funding. So we do rely on Christians and churches to fund our work. People who believe that everyone should have the opportunity to hear about God's love for them. But can I also say one thing that surprises people? If we get our clients paying off their debts bit by bit as they can afford, some of the big banks and the debt collectors actually give CAP back 10%. They don't know about tithing. We do. But they give us 10% back. It's absolutely amazing. Can we stop and watch a quick DVD and then I'll come and wrap up? Thank you. Is that all right? Did the DVD not? Did you not send the DVD? Have you got a thing in your side of your, what's it for a hard one? has she got a drive? Because I've got one.
No, there isn't one on this map.
Oh, okay. Oh, so sorry. Okay. I want a gentleman. Who's a nice, smiley gentleman? Who's your smiliest gentleman? I want a smiley gentleman to come and stand here then. Pete, Mike, come on then, Pete. Can you look sad as if you haven't had a... He hasn't had a job for years. He's sent off 500 job applications and not heard a bean. But then, and he's racked up a load of debt, absolutely racked it up. But then he heard about CAP. He came to CAP, and they started helping him with his debt, and they opened a job club, and he went to the job club, and the session told him just how to work out what to do at an interview. He got offered an interview at Morrison's. Yeah, Morrison. I bet you work for one of the other supermarkets, don't you? He went for the interview, and every question they asked him had been covered in his job club preparation. He got the job. So he started, and he started to pack shelves.
Yeah.
Can you pack shelves?
Yeah, I can pack shelves.
Pack shelves. And he started going to church every week.
Yeah.
And he made friends.
Yeah.
And then...
got a friend.
And then he realised what Christianity was all about, and he asked Christ into his life. And he said, can I be baptised? And he went through the waters of baptism. Can you smile bigger? And can you just say, you're as happy as you've ever been?
I'm as happy as I've ever been.
Thank you.
Amazing.
So that was just one of the three stories that was in class. Thank you for being so good. That's about the first time I've done that one. Hope you get better tonight, Dave, when you take your meeting. Oh, dear. But there's endless stories, and every year CAP produces a DVD with either one or two or three stories, and they're really, really moving. But it starts from somebody being absolutely in the pits with either a debt problem or whatever thing, and then they actually find a route out of debt, whether it's debt recovery order, or whether they're paying it back or whatever it is. People come to the church, they find faith, they join the family, and so many of our clients then have little roles and responsibilities in the church. There's somebody's been a worship leader, there's people stand at the door, there's people do the teas, there's people do the church cleaning. I was at church, how much longer have I got? Can I talk another 5 minutes?
Yeah,
thank you. I don't go to the church literally round the corner from me, because it was an old Anglican church, now it's Jubilee, New Frontiers, it's New Frontiers Church now. So on a Christmas day, I'll pop along. And I happen to know that there was a couple of clients that actually go there. And one of the ladies, she just didn't know anything about church or anything when she first came to CAP. And so over a period, I suppose it's probably about 18 months ago I first met her. I went to church on Christmas Day. And you know, it is absolutely wonderful to see the transformation in that lady's life. She knew nothing about church. She's come to know Jesus. She was there, happy. Everybody was talking to her. Several people, I heard them offer a lift home. She said, no, I'm fine. And I know that she's doing the cleaning for that church, and she's very much part of that church family. It is absolutely amazing what happens. Yeah. So there's two things I want to do this morning. I've got a freebie. Who likes free gifts? Who's seen a form? Most people should have been given a form on their way in. If you fill in the first part of that for me, or your details, section two, your details. If you haven't seen John Kirkby's diary, which is such a moving story of how CAP came to be, you can have a free book if you come and see me at the stand on the way to get your coffee. And the other thing to do, I've got to ask, is do you want to be one of our givers, a regular giver? We've got 28,000 and odd people already, individuals. If you'd like to give, that would be absolutely brilliant. We're very aware that setting up the debt centre has already cost a lot of people. And there's a lot of you too. If you've been involved with CAP Money, you'll have seen this challenge before. So if you're already giving, you've heard the stories. We're growing. Our vision is to reach 1,000 services by 2021. If anybody's already given, can they possibly, listening to that, make space for the poor with your finances and what you've got? Can anybody make an increase today? If you haven't got your bank details with you or anything, or you're thinking, God, what do you want me to do? You're stirring me up and I don't know what you want me to do. Fill in a form anyway. Have a free book anyway. And I've got some of the CAP Life Story people's own life stories as well. I've got those if you've seen this. Come and see me afterwards. We'll have a chat. And the other thing to say is John Kirkby that set up CAP, he's looking for vision sponsors, because our vision is by 2021 to get to 1,000 services. And you've heard me mention 600 several times. He's looking for people that could give £50 a month or more. If anybody feels really stirred up to do that, do come and see me. So I'll give you a chance afterwards. as you come and get your coffee, fill in your forms, come and see us at the stand. I do hope everybody goes away with a book, because I had two books and it was quite a lot, two boxes of books, it was quite a lot to bring in. I don't want to take them home. Okay. But I just want to say thank you so much for the lovely warm invite this morning and everything. And I really, really do hope and pray that God is going to really use this church to get into this community here. Your hardest thing is to find your poor, because they are hiding behind their front doors. I really pray, hope and pray that, you know, you will find them. You'll all do your bit to pass the word on. As many of you as feel able to actually help in a practical way as well. But thank you so much. Thank you.